You're listening to Hungry for More, an Epicurean's Dilemma, and I'm your host, Trish Gloss. Dr. Ilya Gogoris on the podcast today. Nope, he's not a chef. He does not make wine. He's not in the food or wine industry, but it's my podcast and I'll do what I want. I first interviewed this fascinating human back in July 2020, right smack dab in the middle of a pandemic. He had just written a book, I want to get this right, Seven Keys to Navigating a Crisis, a practical guide to emotionally dealing with pandemics and other disasters. So many good nuggets in this interview. Episode 106 is where you can find it. One of the biggest things that I took away from it, Ilya explains there are four people during a crisis, four different kinds of people during a crisis or challenging times: the navigator, the bystander, the critic, and the victim. And he explains that in this interview and why it's important to really stick with the navigator. So we chat about that a little bit. We catch up on what he's been up to, some really cool stuff. And then we get into the juicy bits, how to manifest your best life and really how to be happy. And as he explains, it all comes down to kindness. Here's Dr. Ilya Gogoris. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to see you.
You too, Trish. It's been since the pandemic. It's probably been like 3 years.
So you were on my podcast before. I interviewed you July 29th of 2020.
Okay, so more than 3 years. Okay, 3.5 years. Very nice.
But I reached out to you because you're the happiness doctor. And you had just written a book. I'm going to pull it over here. Let's see. Seven Keys to Navigating a Crisis, a Practical Guide to Emotionally Dealing with Pandemics and Other Disasters.
Correct.
And we talked a lot about the four different kinds of people during a crisis, really during a challenge, right?
And that's the beauty, that it's not about just a crisis, because I think crises come and go, but challenges, I think, remain for all of us in this mortal life. So we're constantly facing challenges. So it's shifted a little bit, but the ideas behind the four different personality types or approaches, I would say, to those challenges remain the same.
Exactly. So I do want to talk to you a little bit about some things, and I wanted to mention this really quickly. You know, this podcast that I have now is based on food and wine. I talk to a lot of chefs. I talk to a lot of foodies. You're not a chef. You are a foodie, but you're not a winemaker. And you know what? I just decided this is my podcast and I'll do what I want.
It's your show. Let's go.
Let's go. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about we were chatting before about your homeland, Greece, and you just recently had kind of an epiphany, right?
Well, I had more than an epiphany. I manifested something that was a lifelong dream, and it's probably the dream of most Greek Americans or Greeks who live in Australia or some other part, is at some point they want to return back home. And, you know, we have kids and, you know, grandkids here and so on, so that our life is in the United States. But after spending 7 weeks by myself for the first time in my life in Greece in the middle of the pandemic, I came to realize certain things about the quality of life and really how can I live that, not just for the token 2 weeks every year going and visiting in the summertime, but really immerse myself in this culture that I've missed. I left Greece when I was a little kid. So, and for those 7 weeks, and I think this is like talking about food, wine or anything else. When people said, oh, what did you do for 7 weeks? I said, you know what? I went to the beach twice a day. I got totally bronzed. Very hedonistic life, right?
Love it.
I ate out every night the most incredible Mediterranean food. Mediterranean diet. You know, Greece has one of the best, you know, virgin olive oil, fresh fish and all that stuff. And we have a home that's right next to the water. And for 49 nights, 7 weeks, I never ate alone. Now, I know people are like, are you serious? I'm like, no, I'm dead serious. Sometimes I was double booked. Like, what are you doing tomorrow night? Well, I'm having dinner with Trish. Well, how about the, you know? So, and we laughed and we had deep conversations and we connected. And I walked everywhere to the bakery every morning. I go to the bakery and get something fresh. That's like fresh bread, fresh everything. No cars, just walking in nature, swimming, talking to people, connecting. And I came back not only rejuvenated and all my batteries full and exceeding, you know, it was like, but it made a decision like, this is how I want to live a big portion of my year. So now we spend 4 or 5 months a year in Greece slash Europe. Greece is like our base, and then we go venture out to see Europe and we'll come back. So that's manifesting. If people say, well, man, you live a charmed life or a lucky life. And I'm like, and I'm not saying that luck doesn't play part of our life. Sometimes luck does help, or timing. But I thought about how to create this life in great detail, and how to create the behind the scenes life in order to support this life and lifestyle. And it didn't happen right away because the pandemic delayed everything by at least a couple of years, but it did happen. And it is happening, and it will continue to happen. So I guess my call to action to everybody is like, live your best life now.
Right. Don't wait.
Do not procrastinate your happiness. And more importantly, let go of the whens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to ask. I have to ask in Greece. Best meal? Did you have a best meal? Was there just a meal that knocked your socks off?
I mean, there are so many Greek, but like lamb that's been marinated for like 10 hours with potatoes. I mean, it melts. It literally melts in your mouth. There's no knife. Like you just usually, it literally melts. It's in with the sauce and a little bit of wine that goes with it. It's pretty good.
Honey, you're speaking my language. Okay.
So yeah.
I want to go back a little bit.
Obviously, I mean, if you live next to the water, you get fresh fish. Like literally, if you got up first thing in the morning, like let's say 7 o'clock in the morning, all the fishing boats have come back in because they're fishing in the middle of the night, and they roll out their nets and get the fish out. You know, they're starting to separate thing. You see two or three pieces of fish that you really like, Trish, I want that piece, this one, and that one. They'll wrap it up for you in a newspaper and give it to you. You take it home and you eat it, and they literally caught it an hour earlier. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I get it.
Okay, all right. That's, yeah.
Right.
Nothing
here.
Frozen. Yeah, nothing frozen.
Okay. I want to go back a little bit because we chatted, like I said, in July of 2020. It was episode 106. So if you want to go listen to all the wonderful things we discussed, episode 106 is where you can get it. But I want you to break down that the four kinds of people really that exist during a crisis, during a challenging time.
Yeah, I think the first one, you know, is basically the victim, and the victim is like, why is this happening to me? As if it's only happening. Don't we all have challenges? We all have challenges of various types, lengths, you know, depth, and so on. But we all face challenges. So nobody has exclusivity on challenges. But the victim feels it's, why is this happening to me? Poor me, victim.
Right.
The other one's the critic, who basically blames everybody else for their challenges, right? Yeah. So they take zero responsibility. It's the government. It's my boss. It's my spouse. It's my, you know, significant, my friend, my sister, my mother-in-law, whatever. They're always blaming somebody else. They're always frustrated and angry. Then you have the fourth type, which I call the bystander, but basically the deer with the headlights look. Like somebody who is so overwhelmed by the challenge that they're facing, and they feel really out of control in their lives. And they're in fear mode, and basically they're frozen in fear, like the deer with the headlights, so they do nothing. And then you have the fourth type, which we like to call the navigator, who successfully navigates any challenge that they face, both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And they do it, you know, with a smile, with a positive attitude, but the key thing is to understand that all of us have all those four personality types within ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, Trish, you're the navigator and I'm the victim and Joe is the critic and Anne is the bystander. It's not like that. All of us have that.
We're all those things.
We were all those things. Mm-hmm. So the key, of course, is if you're going to be in victim mode, just for like half an hour max, and then pivot and become a navigator. And people say, well, how do you do that? Because some people are just like, this is the second nature. They're just like, why is this happening to me? Right. You know, all you got to do is change one word. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening for me?
Ooh, that's good.
Let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
Not why it's happening to me, poor me, but why is it happening for me? In other words, whether you believe in God, the universe, the light source, or whatever, if you believe that things happen for my good, even the challenges, And you and I both know this. We've both been successful at certain things in our lives, but the biggest lessons we've ever learned have come through our challenges. Right? And really, when we have risen to those challenges and navigated them in a certain way, they have made us stronger. Hopefully, they have made us more loving, more polite, more kind to others as a result of those things. More empathy, right? If you have no challenges, how can you have empathy for anybody else's challenges?
Yeah. The biggest thing I took away from that was what you just said. You can be all of these things. You can be the critic, the bystander, the victim. Just don't stay there.
Exactly. That's it. Pivot. And for the specifically for for the victim, it's like if you start realizing this is happening for me and for my good, then you get out of the victim mode and you try to get more curious rather than judgmental, and you ask even more questions. Well, why is this happening for me? What am I supposed to learn from it, right? Mm-hmm. So, because we're all graduates from the University of Adversity, all of us.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
We are.
Do you believe in everything happens for a reason?
I really do. Mm-hmm. But when you're going through it and life sucks, it's not easy to have that perspective, you know? It's only afterwards when you look back and say, you know what? That was so painful. But I also, I'm a believer in what Nelson Mandela said, who's like one of my role models. He said, in life, either you win or you learn. So as long as I'm learning something, nothing is a burden, honestly. It's painful sometimes. It's hard to go through it. But you gain a perspective when you're on the other side. As you look back, go, man, I know exactly why that happened. Because I wouldn't be here if that hadn't happened. And usually where I am is a result of what happened.
Do you think there's one key thing to being happy, or do you think it's a lot of things happening at the same time?
I think it's a lot of things, and I think it's also different things for different people, but I think one of the things is that happy people, when you look at their lives, they truly invest in personal development, and they invest in self-care, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and those things are really non-negotiable. So they put themselves in a place where they do take care of themselves. They're open to learning. And as a result of that, their own batteries are full. And guess what? They're wonderful friends. They're wonderful to be in relationship with happy people because they have so much positive energy and that spreads. And because their own batteries are full, they're very open to giving and supporting other people. There's usually no ego. It's all heart.
Right.
They're open, right? It's not a competition. So like, because there's a song like, because I have been given much, I too must give in some ways, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel so blessed in my own life. I'm like, it's my responsibility also to extend that and help those around me.
Oh, I believe that 100%. Like, I think it's when you do have so much, it's kind of like that Forrest Gump. There's only so much wealth you can have before you have to share it with other people.
Right.
I think. Let's talk about manifesting your best life. There's certain keys in order to do this, right?
Yeah, and part of it is whether you practice mindfulness or you meditate or you pray, I think being open to the downloads, I call them downloads.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, you be open to the downloads. And then, I mean, that's kind of also my spiritual belief too. It's like, I think we get help from all kinds of people, energy, and so on, from this side of the veil, from the other side, if you will. Like, I think there's, like, if you're open, and whatever you call that voice, the spirit, the Holy Ghost, if you're, you know, religious, your intuition, your higher self, the source, God, whatever you call that voice, I have, in my experience, I hear it loud and clear. Like, there's never a debate over whether, well, I'm not sure what you're saying. And it's usually very short. It's not like some long, like, you know, paragraph. When I've listened to it and I've acted on the information, it has always worked out for my benefit.
Hmm.
But because I'm not a perfect human being, especially when I was younger, sometimes I would ignore it. I would hear it, and then I'm like, no, I know better. Always paid the price when that happened.
Wow. Okay.
So I have learned to trust my intuition or that voice 100%. And I no longer even ask why anymore. When I was younger, I was like curious, like, well, why should I do it? No, I don't. I trust it so much that I do it, and it always works out, and it helps to manifest a great life. So that's one of the key ingredient is to listen with the third ear, listen with your heart. That's why I went to Greece actually that time, because I have never been truly alone. I was always with people. I'm like, what do I really want? For the first time in my life, you know, in my 50s, what do I want? And you have to get quiet for that, you know, to get those answers.
There's also a reflection piece too, right? Asking yourself certain questions on what you want to see in the future.
And part of it is, you know, especially with people who are pleasers or who are like, you know, accommodating other people. I've always been for other people. It was very hard for me to actually say that. And like, not what your wife wants for you or your kids or the other people or what is it in your heart like? So I had to get quiet and honest with myself and say, this is what I really want. And it might ruffle some feathers, you know, making a change from being in the United States for all these years to all of a sudden living in Europe for 4 or 5 months. It's not easy for a certain be like, what? But it was right for me. And I thought about it in great detail. This was not like, oh, wow, that was a lucky. No, I thought about it clearly. I'm like, what do I need to do in order to create something like that? It didn't happen overnight. We actually got delayed a little bit, but that's okay. The bottom line is, has it happened? Is it happening? And it will continue to happen. And the answer is yes.
That's where I
It's
get
not
into
magic,
trouble.
though.
I'm
It's not,
impatient.
yeah, it's not magic. And it's not like, and don't get impatient. Like, and don't compromise. Like, no, we only have one life to live.
Yes, this is my new thing lately. Not compromising, but also keeping in mind what you truly want and staying in that lane, right?
Yes, exactly. And unapologetically, I can't say it without an
There
apology.
you go.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, yes, like if it feels right in your heart and it's for your well-being and it doesn't hurt another human being, go for your dream. Don't compromise. Don't like go for it. What's the worst thing that could happen? Maybe you don't reach for the stars totally, but you're going to be a lot higher than you are right now.
And I do find that I'm very impatient. I want things to happen overnight.
I mean, that's human nature too. But the more important thing is that they happen. Okay? That they happen. You made a huge career change.
I did.
Right. Are you glad?
Beyond.
Okay, why did you do it?
I was burned out. I was
Okay.
tired. And I think I saw something different for myself. I wanted to do different things. And it goes back to what you were saying. I only have one life. And I don't want to be stuck in a job that I just kind of like.
I mean, if not now, when?
Right.
Right. What are we waiting for? That's why I said forget all the wins. I am against wins. But most of us live with the ones. When I'm in the right relationship, when I have enough money, when I retire, when they, you know, when they forget all the ones. Wait, there's no guarantee you're going to be here tomorrow. So start living your best life now.
Right. Okay, how we do that?
I think you have to decide, first of all. First of all, you have to become aware and be honest. I mean, be kind with yourself, but also be honest. Look in the mirror and say, is this the life that you know, when I was young and had all these dreams, is this what I envisioned? Am I living even close to that? I'm not saying exactly like that, you know, but am I living even close to that? Am I in the ballpark? Or am I living a completely different life? How did I end up here? Do you know how many people I've counseled, like, you know, who have either a midlife crisis or a midlife reflection, which is actually better than a crisis, before the crisis? A midlife reflection. I didn't have a crisis, but I had a midlife reflection say, no, there's more to life than this. I had forgotten, actually. I was off my path a little bit. Which is okay. I mean, I'm not, you know, it is what it is. You know, you raise a family, raise kids, and so on. But at some point, it's got, wait a minute, there's a whole other life out there. And I could have a slice of that.
You did that too, right? You were a clinical
Psychologist, yeah.
psychologist for like
Yeah.
20 years or something.
First half of my career, yeah. But I got burned out like you. And that led to me pivoting and, you know, going into the corporate world and becoming an executive coach and leadership training and development, and then an author, a speaker, and so on. And it's like, you know, it has expanded. there's another pivot. Like there's even another, because I'm like, am I retired? Am I close to being retired? Because people, they can't figure me out. I'm like, and I've really had to change the paradigm.
Yeah.
What would I retire from if I love what I'm doing?
Ooh, that's good.
Because if you're in that lane that you talked about, you're at exactly where you're supposed to be. Why would I stop doing that?
Right. Yeah.
As long as I enjoy it.
Here's something is interesting to me. I look at other people who've had this great career for 20 years, 30 years, and maybe they get burned out or they just want to change and they do something really bold and brave. And I'm just like, oh, that's so amazing. Wow. And then I look at myself and go, you did the same thing.
You totally did that. That's why I asked you. Why did you do it? You did exactly the same thing, Trish.
Yeah. But it's all in an effort to be happier.
And it happened. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, we do. It does require some patience. But if you're really bought into, like, this is what I want, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen, it will happen. Is it scary? Yes.
Really scary.
Sometimes, certainly, because it means I have to go outside of my comfort zone. You knew the job that you were doing before inside and out. You're such a professional. You could do it in your sleep. But after, all this time, it was time for change for you. So you had to go outside of your comfort zone and try something different.
In an effort to manifesting your best life, I guess what kind of work should we be doing? I know there's certain questions we need to be asking ourselves. Is there anything else as far as reflection or really work that we need to be doing?
And that's why I said whether you meditate on it, whether you pray about it, whether you practice mindfulness, whether you journal, however you have that internal communication. And I'm a communications expert, so I talk about having hot conversations with people, HOT, which stands for honest, open, and transparent, hot.
Nice.
But you also need to have those hot conversations with yourself. It isn't just when we communicate with other people. Can we be honest, open, and transparent with ourselves, which requires vulnerability, right? It requires to maybe see a little bit of the dark side, a little bit of shadow work, maybe a little bit of healing, maybe a little bit of like how does personal transformation take place? One step at a time, right? And part of it is looking in the mirror, and in the end saying, because I could be, well, I don't, circumstances, right? Remember, the critic, the victim, and the bystander, the fearful one, none of them take personal responsibility for their lives. It's poor me, blame somebody else, or not do anything. So navigators f take full responsibility for their lives.
Exactly.
Nobody put a gun to my head for all those years to just go to Greece for 2 weeks. I chose that. No, did anybody put a gun to my head? No, you
Nope.
cannot go for a, no. Just like nobody put a gun to my head and say, this time I'm going for 7 weeks, I'm going to figure out my life and myself and what I truly want. I'm responsible for that, nobody else.
I know you talk to people around the globe about this and about being happy. What's the number one question you get? Is there a number one question?
I think, is it really a choice? Especially with people that I've never, have felt true happiness, or they tend to be more on the depressive side, and so on. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, it's a choice, but it's also a skill set. That's just a choice. For some people, it comes easier. No, no doubt about it. Genetics, environment, how they grew up, nature versus nurture. But if we do certain things on a consistent basis, I guarantee you will find happiness. And that's from my experience working with thousands of people. It's not like me saying that for about my ego. I'm talking about, but you have to make it a commitment. Like, this is something really important to me.
Right. We talked about this in the last time you and I talked, that happiness is a choice, just like being sad. There's certain days where I'm down in the dumps and I'm perfectly fine right there
And that's okay.
for the day.
But not for the life.
No.
That's
Right.
right.
Gotta
Yeah,
navigate. Gotta navigate.
absolutely navigate. And I think this, and self-care, when people start putting their self-care as a top priority in their lives, first of all, just take the physical aspect of it. If you get enough sleep, restorative sleep, now I'm talking about, if you eat a little bit healthier, you know, we have, this is the only temple we have. You and I have this. This is our temple. This is our body, right? What are we, you know, feeding it with? Moderate exercise. We know all these things. The key is not, this is the thing to life. In life, it doesn't matter what we know. What matters is what do we do with what we know?
Yeah.
We all know all these things like get a good night's sleep, eat healthy, you know, moderate exercise. We all know that. Well, how come most of us don't do them on a consistent basis? Right?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a question that we all need to ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't used to be that way. So I took personal responsibility for that, as the physical aspect. I'm healthier now than I was 20 years ago.
Hmm.
Imagine that, though. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about physically healthier, and I'm 20 years older.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how well do we take care of our mental state, our emotional state, and our spiritual state? You do those things on a consistent basis, you're going to be golden.
I have a lot of work to do.
In what area?
I would think mental state, probably. For the most part, I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of person, but I overthink certain things. I overthink friendships, relationships, work. I mean, I overthink a lot of that.
How do you get out of your head into your heart and into your heart?
I drink wine. No, I'm just kidding.
If whatever works. Because that's part of it. It's like you need to get more, a little bit more into your heart and listen to you.
Yeah. I think it's a level of my version of meditation, you know, like thinking things through, asking myself questions, and then coming back to certain relationships. And then that open transparency, if there's a friend and we've had some issues, I am definitely one to sit down and go, what's the deal? What's going on?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
Absolutely. Because let's say you do all the self-care in the world. You take care of all those things. And then you surround yourself with toxic people, it's going to rob you from your happiness. I don't care how much self-care you practice.
Yeah.
And I've eliminated toxic relations from my life years ago. Consciously. I made a decision consciously, no more toxic relationships in my life. And people actually, they don't believe me. They're like, are you serious? I'm like, I'm dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does that work? I'm like, it's not that hard. It's hard to do it the first time, but you do it two or three times with people that are toxic in your life, then it becomes easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now for me, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
You want to know how you do it?
Tell me.
Okay. So it starts of how we show up in our relationship always first. So you always have to start with yourself. How am I showing up? So with you, Trish, if I show up with love, kindness, and respect, do I show up that way? Let's just practice this.
You do.
Okay. Then I have every expectation that you also need to treat me in return with love, kindness, and respect.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's somebody in your life, Trish, that is like, that you need to have that hot conversation, if you will, that's how you start off. First of all, you ask them. Now, if you don't show up with love, kindness, and respect, you don't have a leg to stand. You have to ask him to do the same. But let's assume that from your end, you do. And you ask them, and they're, oh, yes, there's, of course, you're very loving, kind, respect. Okay, now that we've established that part, then I expect you to treat me exactly the same way. And if you don't, or if you're not ready, then we're not going to have a relationship. I'm sorry.
Mm.
Or it'll be a very, very superficial relationship. Is that what you want? Or there will be no relationship. I'm going to cut you off completely.
Yeah.
Not because I want to, but because I care enough about myself and I show up a certain way with you that I expect the same in return. Isn't that fair? Most people say, yes, that's fair.
Yeah. I like to say it's not personal, it's business. The business in making myself happy.
Right.
Yeah. Those relationships are energy sucks.
They are. And I had an extended family member who, when I had this conversation, you know, said, are you telling me I'm the only toxic person in your life? And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And no. He actually asked the question. So I said, yes, you are the only toxic. And then to his credit, he said, well, I don't want to be the only toxic person in your life. I said, well, I don't want that either, but I'm not going to put up with this behavior.
Mm.
And to his credit, he changed.
Wow.
He changed. He was almost 60 years old. He was like 58, 59. So at his age, he changed because it was important to him to change. in order to have a relationship with me, because she knew that I was serious. I'm not messing around. There's no room for toxic people in my life. I don't show up that way, so why should I put up with it?
Yeah. And kudos to him for changing, because that's really hard to do.
Absolutely. He was really shocked. At first, he thought I was kidding. I'm like, no, you are the only toxic person that I have in my life. Like, what? He got very quiet. And I didn't break the silence either. I had to let him sit with it for a while. I didn't bail him out.
Right.
Let him feel it.
Don't bail him out.
No.
Where can people find more information on manifesting your best life?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of wonderful books, but the real information is like right here in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can read the books and you can hire coaches that can help you manifest the brave. I mean, I have a program that takes people how to create your best life. It takes 90 minutes. And I teach people how to create the best year yet of your life.
Yeah.
Every year.
I do this
myself, by the way. I can do that with you. It takes about 90 minutes.
Yeah, we did that.
Well, you and I did that.
Yeah,
we did. That's right. I forgot that. Yeah, you know. So yeah, that's one way to do it. You hire somebody and they help you to create and manifest that. But even that, I'm just asking the questions. The real information is in your heart.
Right.
Your soul and your mind. Right. And some of those questions help you access that. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and you have to want it. Like, if you're kind of lukewarm about it, you're going to keep doing what you've been doing. You're going to stay in your comfort zone, which isn't bad. That's why it's comfortable. But you're not going to thrive.
Mm-mm.
No. I told you, when we first reconnected, like, you're glowing. Like, you're like, no, seriously, there's a glow about you. You're happier. No, it's true. I mean, and that shows. That comes from the inside, right?
Good. Well, thank you.
When you're in alignment with what your purpose is and what you're doing, it shows. People see it.
Yeah, very true. Do you journal? Are you a journaler?
I'm not a journaler. Unfortunately, I have a gratitude journal. I just journal in my head. I'll start. I'm not very good. I have to admit. I go for a walk every day, 3 to 5 miles every day, no matter what. And half of the time, I don't take my phone with me. So that becomes my gratitude walk.
Mm.
And I express gratitude. I could do it for a full hour. For the trees, for the sunshine, for the snow that we got, the storm got the other day, there's so much to be grateful for. And you know, when you're in a state of gratitude, physiologically in the brain, you cannot be depressed at the same time. Because when we're in a state of gratitude, the chemicals that are being released from our brain flood our system and we're as happy as can be. You cannot be depressed and be grateful at the same time.
Ooh, that's good. I do.
That's one of the quickest ways to change your mood, right? Is to go into a gratitude state.
I like that. I do the same thing. On my walks, it's usually just me and the dog, and I do not take my phone, ever.
Oh, you're even better than I am. I do it 50% of the time, but...
I never take my phone. I feel bad for my puppy if I'm on my phone, because then I'm not showing up and being
so
present
sweet.
For my dog.
You're not fully present. Right? No, that's very true. Very true.
But I get my best ideas on those walks.
Yeah, you download stuff all the time.
Yes, exactly.
I know it. I know it's true. It's true.
And you know often really I'm saying funny? Thank you to things.
You said something really important about being in the present. I think the majority of my time until the last 2 or 3 years, I've always lived for the most part in the future.
Hmm.
Like thinking, I have a little bit ADD. I didn't think I could actually be in the present. But I have actually mastered that at my age. Like the last 2 or 3 years, when I'm with someone, I'm with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say next. I'm not thinking about, like, when you say something, I'm like, okay, what is Trish telling me right now?
Yeah.
Stay with her. Eye contact, focus, be in the present. And, don't worry about the future.
Right. And I think that's super important when you're interviewing someone. I do the same thing. I'm not thinking for the most part about what I'm going to ask you next. I'm just right here with you.
Right.
That's important.
But you're a natural too. I mean, this is a gift. You have a gift. You're a natural to interview. It's so easy to be on a show with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. One of my favorite quotes is no stress in the moment.
I've never heard that before. Explain that to me.
It's the idea that if you're present, if you're in the moment, you can't stress about anything else. Nothing else is worrisome. You're just
Oh,
right here
yes.
enjoying the moment.
No stress in the moment.
Isn't that good?
That's so good. I've never heard about that. It's what I just told
Yeah.
you about, but I didn't have the language or the phrase that you use. That's beautiful.
It's very Zen. It's very like Zen
Very,
philosophy.
yes, absolutely.
It's on my old iPod because when I'm on a plane, I get very stressed out, lots of anxiety. And then I have to tell myself that's my mantra, no stress in the moment, no stress in the moment, no stress in the moment.
You know what that's about, right? Planes.
Tell me.
Dr. Gurgur is speaking
Calling Dr.
Calling
Gurgurus.
Dr. G. It really has to do with a sense of control. It's all about control.
Yeah. And you're out
Because
of control.
logically, yeah, the feeling, yeah, that I'm not controlling this. I'm in this, metal box, 35,000 feet above the earth. Because logically, we all know that, airplane travel is the safest, mode of transportation in the world. But it's not a mental thing. It's right here. So that's what it's about.
Yeah.
So the question for you is, if you ever like delve into that a little bit in your meditation, in your and ask yourself about control and what that's about.
Uh-oh.
No, I
Now.
don't know what it's. I don't claim to know what it. But
Yeah.
that would be something. If you want to figure something out, be like a detective. Get curious. Not judgmental towards the fact that you get anxiety on an airplane, but get curious about it and ask some questions and see what comes up.
Okay, that's very interesting. That was the doctor side of you.
Well, it doesn't come out as much anymore, but yeah.
So, what are you up to these days?
I have two things. The public speaking, just getting on those bigger and bigger stages as around the world, because I really enjoy that, as your sphere of influence grows. And the other one's my TV show that I've The Kindness Factor. So that's a big one. That's a big one. The Kindness Factor is big. We filmed the pilot and we're in contact and communication with the producers. I'm actually heading out to California in a couple of weeks to speak to someone. And basically, I want to get it on the air, whether in a streaming or a network. The time is now, because the world is in dire need of kindness. And there are so many good people doing wonderful things that nobody really knows about. And that's the premise of the show, is to showcase them to a wider audience.
And really, that's what we need to be focusing on.
Kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which really, if you think about it, what is kindness? Kindness is love in action, right? That's what it is. Love in action. And with kindness, everybody wins. Everybody wins. The giver, the receiver, both of them collectively, the audience that watches this and gets inspired. So it's a win, 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 win. It's just this ripple effect. So that's my legacy project.
I love it.
My legacy project.
Didn't you have, I don't know if you can talk about it, you had an example, right, of someone who potentially could be on the show. Someone you met?
And I'm drawing a blank.
Maybe in Philadelphia?
Some of that could be on the show, as in.
Or I guess give me an example of someone that you would interview or someone that you would have on the show.
Well, I can tell you one that's on the in our pilot.
Yes.
This is a, yeah. So this is an actual person that I interviewed. This is part of the pilot. This is someone who, for the last 25, maybe 30 years, works as her own nonprofit. She travels all over the world and goes to refugee camps. And refugee camps are probably the most tough. Africa, war zones. Now there's one in refugee camps in Poland from Ukrainians who have left the Ukraine. Greece has them from the Middle East. They may there be, And she brings to those kids, especially kids, she teaches them how to play music. Now, those kids don't have anything. So she brings them a harmonica. She brings harmonicas and teaches them how to play the harmonica. Just, and there, what happens to those kids who literally have nothing? Some of them don't even have any parents. They certainly don't have a home. They live in tents or whatever in refugee camps. It gives them hope. It helps them with the creative aspect of their brains. So to me, that's an example. Like to so the goal of getting on the air. So I've interviewed her. But the real juice to the story is I want to go with her to the refugee camps and actually catch her doing it. And I want to pick, I mean, we have B-roll, as you know, there's always B-roll that she plays, but it's not the same as actually physically being there and recording her while she teaches those kids and listen to them smile and laugh and create music and so on.
Yeah.
That's really what I want to do. That's part of the show,
Love
right?
it. That's so great. Do you also feel when, if I'm kind to someone, it tends to pay it forward?
I think it always pays it forward.
Okay.
That's why I say that with kindness, everybody was the giver has their own rewards. Because innately, you feel good when you do something good for somebody else. The receiver obviously is on the receiving end of your kindness and your acts of service. But more likely than not, it would trigger them to now go and pass it forward to somebody else. Kindness is contagious. The best way to describe it. And navigators, that's one of the key things. People that take care of themselves, because again, my batteries are full. I have excess love, time, energy to give to somebody else. And even if you think, man, my life is pretty tough right now, anytime that I've actually been really down, and what doesn't happen very often, but I'm, you know, it happens from time to time, the quickest way for me to get out of that is to go and help somebody else. It's weird how that happens, but it always works.
And I also feel like being kind to pretty much everyone you encounter. My big thing is when I'm checking out the grocery store, I'm saying hi to the cashier. I'm asking about their day. I'm not on my phone. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not texting. I'm engaging with this human who's helping me out for 5 minutes.
And the best part is when you're leaving, you're like, thanks. You can say thank you, or you can say thank you so much, Betty. Like
Right.
you tell them their name.
Yeah.
Make them real. You know, they're not just some, you know, thank you so much, James. Appreciate it. What does that take? What did that cost you and I? Nothing. It takes like
Zero.
an extra tenth of a second to actually add their name or say thank you and make eye contact with them. It costs nothing. And yet, for them,
It could mean a lot.
I'll give you an example. I was at a conference this weekend, and very well, it was a wonderful spiritual personal development conference and so on. And at the end, as I was leaving, you know, I think, you know, I was starting to thank people, and I'm very close friends with the CEO of this big company that put it together. So, and I'm like, man, you have great staff. They're wonderful people. He goes, thank you. I mean, very humble, great leader. And I came across the lady that was picking up the trash. And I had a, you know, I was just finished drinking some water, and I'm like, can I put this game? She goes, yes, of course. She goes, thank you. And I said, no, thank you. And you should have seen the look on her face. She kind of went, huh? I'm like, thank you for your service. Thank you for this place is impeccable, so clean. Thank you. And you should have seen her smile. I mean, she was an older lady. She her smile got so big. Everybody needs to hear something like that on a daily basis, or at least from time to time.
I agree.
What did that cost me? I was walking out, going to my car. It took me less than 30 seconds to make a say thank you for your for the good work that you're doing.
I'm all about thank you. It may be my southern roots, but I'm all about thank you.
Me too.
It's
Me too.
important.
So when people say, well, I don't have either the money or the time to be kind, no, it doesn't take money or time. It takes a conscious, you know, decision that you can be kind to every person you come in contact with every single day, and it doesn't cost anything. And it's like a little pebble, right? You drop it and there's a ripple effect. And we don't get to see what the ripple effect happens most of the times. We just, you know, but do it anyways and let them pay forward. Maybe because some people said nice things to her. Now she goes home and she goes, I had the nicest conference, you know, and she's the cleaning lady. And people were so nice to me. And as a result of that, she's more patient at home with her kids. You know what I'm saying? That this could have impact.
Huge.
Exactly.
And I would encourage everyone, if you're at an event or a restaurant or wherever, thank someone behind the scenes. Thank someone who doesn't get that acknowledgement. That's big.
You know, sometimes when that, especially when the service is really good, and you know, and time to pay, I tell the waiter or the waitress, I'm like, "Can I talk to your manager?" And they're like, because usually if somebody's, "Can I talk to your manager?" What does that mean?
You're in
Something bad,
trouble.
right? So she goes, "Why? Why did I do?" I'm like, "No, don't worry about it. Can I talk to your manager?" And the manager comes in, yeah, and they're like, "Yes, sir. Can I help you?" They're used to it. Some kind of customer is going to complain, and I'm
Right.
like, "Can I tell you something?" This lady right here, I don't know where you found her. She's the best waitress I've ever seen. And she lights up. She's like, and goes, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I'm like, no, I just need to tell you that. What great service. Because of her, we're going to come back next week.
Yeah. You made their day. Yep.
What did that cost me?
Zero.
It makes her 30 seconds waiting for the manager. You know what I'm saying? But it made her a week, I bet, not just her day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I love
it's
it.
Easy.
That's some good stuff right there. Will you keep us posted on the show?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when this comes out, I'd like to push, you know, all my listeners and viewers to the kindness
Thank
factor.
You. Yeah, we're very excited. I mean, we're very excited. I'm excited to go to California and then have a nice conversation with some producers and see what happens.
Incredible.
Thank you.
Well, Doc, we're going to wrap up a little bit and get to the final three.
Uh-oh.
I think I prepped you on.
Okay, go for it.
Best advice you've ever been given.
Best advice that I've ever been given.
Which I've asked you these three questions before.
Okay. It could be a different answer than last time. I don't know.
I'm really excited to see what you say.
Well, the best advice I've ever been given, honestly, is what my grandpa told me when I was 5 years old, when he, in Greek, when he said to me, if you do something good for somebody else every day, you'll be the richest man in the world. That was
your answer last time.
I mean, if you think about it, and you know, my grandpa died when I was six, so I don't have a lot of memories of him, but that statement, it planted some seeds and it helped me become who I am. Mm-hmm. I give him a lot of credit for that. Was that the last thing? Did I give the same answer last
yes.
time?
Yes. Okay,
if I have to think about it, that has to be it. That has to be it.
Yeah. And it hit me in the feels last time and it hit me in the feels today. Love it. What's your happy place?
My happy place is my hometown in Greece called Galaxidi, which I have like, mm-hmm. there's a, you can see it back there. It's my family. This is my family goes back 250 years. That's where, you know, we have streets named after us. We have a nice home next to the water. That's my happy place because the minute I dive into the water, before I come up for air, I release all the stress for the whole year. I'm like, I do a deep dive every time I go. The first time, all the stress for the year is gone. And by the time my head comes above the water surface, I'm a different person. It's like being rebaptized.
Oh, that's good. I like
so
that.
So that's my happy place by far.
Okay. In all things food and drink, whatever, what do you crave? What always sounds good?
Ice cream. I do. I love ice cream.
Yeah.
Ice cream makes me happy for some reason. I don't know why. It's probably the association you have as a kid, maybe when you first had ice cream. I don't know the reason. I haven't analyzed it really, but I love ice cream.
Well, you keep eating it. You're the happiness doctor. We need you happy.
It makes me happy. It does.
Mm-hmm. Really quickly, I have to. Last time we talked, you had this really cute, funny story when you guys moved to America. You, as a youngster, very desperate to lose your accent. And then the girls were like, oh, I love your accent. And you're like, oh, I'm keeping it.
It's all true. Well, you know, middle school is awkward anyway.
Oh,
middle school
awful.
Is not easy.
It's awful.
So I have a strange name. I'm in Santa Monica, California. I'm painfully shy, which is hard to believe now, but I was back then. And all you want to do is blend in. All you want to do is assimilate like all the other kids. So I tried not to speak so much and I tried to become more Americanized accent and stuff for the first year, I think 7th grade. Well, by 8th grade, girls were like, we love your accent. Like, can you speak something? Can you say something like that? And I'm like, don't be a knucklehead. This is the easiest way to get girls to talk to you.
Don't be a knucklehead.
So that's it. That's it.
Oh my gosh. So good. Well, Dr. Ilya Gogoris, I'm so glad. Interview number two for both of us on the books. Where can people follow you?
Dr. Ilya Gogoris.com. I'm sure you can have it in the notes and all that. Or LinkedIn. That's the other place to do. Those are probably, I mean, Facebook, I have Instagram too, but you know, I'm not a big social media. I'm okay, but I think LinkedIn, my personal website is the best way to get a hold
Perfect.
Of me or LinkedIn. Yeah. But I got to tell you, it's such a joy to talk to you. You and I could talk for hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a joy. It's so easy. And yet we talk about things that impact people's lives.
I know. That's important.
You know? Like we can go deep, we can go light, we can laugh, we can like, you know, connect. And it's beautiful with you. It's so easy. I mean, you're the consummate professional.
Well, thank you. This is the Trish and Ilya roller coaster.
That's right.
Right? the happiness roller coaster.
Yes.
I'm super excited about the show. Fingers crossed. All the best luck. And, you know, keep me posted and I'll keep looking out for it.
I will. And thank you for having me back. It's such a pleasure.
Well, thanks for saying yes. Thanks for coming back and giving us so much good information.
You bet. I need to, do you ever answer those three questions or is it just for your guests?
I've answered them before in my head and with friends.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. They're good questions.
They're very good questions.
The best advice is my favorite. You can tell a lot about a person on their best advice and who gave it to them.
Can you share your best advice or no? Or is that?
Yeah, I'll share my best advice. It came, I want to say both of them came from my mom. When I was little, she said, I used to, in the mirror, I'd be like, oh, I'm so pretty. And when other people would be like, you're a very pretty girl, I'd say, I know.
Cute.
I don't know about cute. And my mom said, you are very beautiful. But if you're not beautiful on the inside, the outside doesn't matter.
That's great advice.
And I've carried that with me since 5 years old.
Isn't it interesting how that we imprinted in our brains are those statements that we get? Like, even our little brains know truth when they hear it.
Yep. Exactly.
Just like you and I.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. We were like the same age when we got our best advice.
I know. Which means that, you know, our souls, I think deep down, so we know truth with a capital T. And when we hear it, it resonates with us. We may not fully understand. Like when he told me about the richest man in the world, I thought about money. I didn't think about like relationships. In my limited brain.
Right.
But overall, as I got older, I understood what the true meaning of what he was saying was.
Right. And it's timeless. It's advice that's timeless. I love it.
And when I told you before that you glow, that's what I meant. It's like that comes from the inside. I mean, you can be an attractive human being, but if you're not attractive on the inside, that also shows up, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I would much rather be pretty on the inside than pretty on the outside.
I'd much rather you be pretty on the inside and outside. why do we have to be either or? Why
no choosing. All of it? Right. All right, Doc, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for joining me today. You've been listening to Hungry for More, an Epicurean's Dilemma with me, Trish Gloss. You can watch this podcast and subscribe on my YouTube channel. Just search Hungry for More, an Epicurean's Dilemma. You can also listen and subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts.